Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there.
Media, which is what we feel like we have here at Pitt Moss. And what's interesting is the more we work with gardeners and people that are used to using a typical peat-based gardening mix is that they start to use the product and it's a little different. It's really soft. It's light. It's fluffy. It holds a ton of moisture, but it's certainly not going to be your typical bag of potting soil. So our challenge is to kind of educate people that this isn't your normal growing media, but it is something that is very beneficial to the plants, but also our planet. So we're really big on sustainability. And so any questions you have around like just potting mixes, sphagnum peat moss, and kind of the environmental issues with that, and then what's so unique and different about our product, and also, you know, what are the areas that it, you know, it really thrives in.
Cool. That all sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. And then where are you located?
We're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And then are you a millennial? You look super young in your picture. You
I must am be, a millennial. Right?
Okay,
I
cool.
know. It's such a dirty word, though, nowadays.
But not on my show. I love millennials.
Okay, good.
I think millennials are like the rock star generation that are going to save our planet and care about the world.
I hope so.
And the ones I interview are people like you. I can hear your passion coming through. So,
I appreciate that.
So I really like to call out the millennials. And it's funny because some guy even posted, he's like, Jackie, every time I hear you talk about millennials, I think of this. And it was like this total dissing millennials. And like on top of that, it's like, and the very last thing is imagine one of them is going to be a president someday. And it's like, this song was cute and the music was funny, but it was so just like typical dissing. And the millennials I talk to consistently are like the hardest working, like, you know, gardeners, especially. But even if they're not gardeners, like there's a lot of them in my podcasting group, you know, mm-hmm. The majority of my podcasting group, I think, is probably millennials, even though there's a huge plot of people who are my age and older. And I'm just about to turn 50 and, you know, that want. You know, have been doing the 9-to-5 for a long time, but many, many of them are these kids coming out of high school, coming out of college, and just like, they don't even trust a regular job. Forget like wanting to climb the corporate ladder and have a regular job because they're just, you know, they're like, you know, that way is not. And, but they're, you know, like Tim Ferriss wrote that book, The 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh yeah, but the 4-Hour Work Week does not mean you're going to work only 4 hours a week. It probably means you're going to work 80 hours a week, but you're just, you know, your work and your life is going to be intertwined and you're going to really love what you do. And then he talks, you know, a lot about the lifestyle design, like instead of waiting to retirement, like put those little moments into your regular life, like 3 months here or a week there, or like, you know, do enjoy life now while you're living it and celebrate, you know, the good things in life. And just, but I also feel like, you know, like the head of my podcasting class, he was in the army, he was in the military, but he is such a passionate, like, and Pat Flynn, the head of Smart Passive Income, such environmentalists. They're such, you know, humanitarians, and just they're some of the kindest people. I got to say, I'm not sure either one of them is actually a millennial. They're right on the cusp. Yeah. But just the people they inspire are really, truly hardworking people.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I actually very much believe in that work-life integration, not work-life separation. So I'm like constantly working, but I'm also constantly living my life too. So I definitely get that.
Me too. I feel very blessed to have the life I've had. So anyway, we're a little off task. So welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast today. And I am super excited, not just because I actually have a day off of school, but I have 5 interviews scheduled today. And 3 of them are going to talk about healthy soil. And so I'm super excited. My first interview this morning is with a woman in Pennsylvania, another rock star millennial. Somebody on Facebook called me out on millennials the other day. And the funniest thing was he found out he is actually a millennial. It was so funny. Anyway, another rock star millennial who's out there trying to save our planet and teach us, educate us about how to have healthier soil and a healthier planet. And they have a product you might be interested in. And so their website is pitmoss.com. And from Pitmoss is Ashley Mariani today. So welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, it's a perfect day for you to be here. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a pretty diverse background. I started in politics, working in the mayor's office for a little bit, but got a little bored with that and went back to school, got 2 graduate degrees. And at that time, I started working for a software company and built up their marketing team and was getting a little... Life was getting a little stale. I wanted to do something I was much more passionate about, something that I could get up every day and really believe in my work. And I started consulting with Pitmoss about a year ago, helping with social media and marketing and just getting to know the business. And they were lucky and fortunate enough to secure a round of funding that they were able to bring me on full time. So I quit my job and took a leap. And I've been at Pitmoss since October. Just really, my role is to spread the good word of Pitmoss, help with all of our digital assets like our website and our Amazon, but also just help promote and educate gardeners and consumers about what our product is and how it's different from a typical growing media.
All right. Well, let's just go right there. So what is Pitmoss? Because you sent us a sample and it's pretty cool looking. Oh, so listeners, this is me breaking in here. It's the end of May. It'll be a miracle if I get this up before June. I'm finally editing it. I recorded this in February 24th, along with 2 other amazing soil interviews that I'm still trying to get up. But anyway, I just have to tell you, Mike and I have tried Pitmoss. This stuff rocks. I've been so trying to get this episode up because this stuff is just great. It holds moisture. It's like, it just is the greatest stuff. So I'll let Ashley tell you about it, but I just wanted to put a little personal tidbit in there. I'm using it in my classroom with my classroom garden stuff. Mike's using it at home. We're both in love with it.
It is. It's different than anything that you would be used to grabbing off the shelves at, Home Garden Center or Lowe's, especially if you consider the weight of it, right? So you walk down an aisle and you yank off the bag of potting soil and you almost, hurt your back picking it up. Well, if you were to pick up a bag of pit moss, you're not going to have that much of a problem because it's about half the weight. And why that is it's made from cellulosic fiber. So we take recycled newspaper and we have a proprietary process where we grind up that newspaper into the size of the fiber is actually very important to us. So that whole process of taking the newspaper, breaking it down and making it into a blend that is perfect for plant growth. And then we add in organic ingredients to help with just to make it more of a growing media, not just, cellulosic fiber that's ground up. So we put this all together. We work our magic in a big mixer, and that's how we produce our pit moss. So it's really unlike anything else. It has no peat in it, no vermiculite, no perlite. It's really just a product that it stands on its own and is a totally different environment than your plants are normally used to growing in.
Okay. So Mike and I were talking about this morning, and like, do you mix this with dirt or you don't? You put the seeds right in the, you.
So good, great question, actually. So up until really this past year, we sold a lot of our product to commercial growers. And that product was what we call Pit Moss Prime. Now, Pit Moss Prime is a soil amendment or a soil conditioner. It is something that you would want to mix in with either a compost would be great. That's really ideal, like a 2/3 to 1/3. But you can mix it with Miracle-Gro, like just a basic potting soil, something that has a fertilizer that's going to allow for plant growth, because that's the one thing that is missing from Pit Moss Prime is any type of fertilizer. So no nutrients are in that product. So you're going to want to mix it with something with nutrients. And that's really great for just providing your typical soil with porosity and aeration and water holding capacity. So it's really helps whatever soil you're used to working with. But of course, we have home gardeners that just want to use it like a typical potting soil. So we did just launch Pit Moss Performance, which has a controlled release fertilizer that was specially developed for us. And it also has a bit of a starter charge. So you can do seed germination and begin to grow your plants directly in Pit Moss Performance, as opposed to Prime, which is just a soil amendment.
Okay. So, main product, I guess I'm confused about like where gardeners, like, so your home gardener, what did they want to use? Which one did they want to use?
They'll be using probably Pit Moss Performance. I mean, you would liken that to a bag of Miracle-Gro, Bumper Crop, like a Fox Farm, Happy Frog, that sort of blend. So it has everything you need to get started, pot your plants. You can also mix Performance in with your garden. The real thing is that the material that is in Prime and Performance is going to be beneficial no matter what you mix it with, because it's going to help your soil be better for your plants. So you really can't go wrong if you're choosing an option, unless you're working with plants that require, you know, need a little less nutrition. But you will be hard pressed to find something that wouldn't work with your garden. So Prime, perfect if you already have a compost or soil that you're using. In Performance, you can just buy a bag and plant right in that. So Performance would probably be, in the consumer's mind, the easiest, most easiest product to understand, that you just buy it like a bag of Miracle-Gro.
Okay. But it's organic, right?
Yes. Absolutely. So glad you brought up that point. So right now we're in the process of getting OMRI certified. It's been a process that we've been working on for the past couple months. And Prime is going to be certified because it does come from all organic natural materials. Our Performance, even though all of the fertilizer and the nutrients that we are using, the controlled release fertilizer, are coming from natural surface, materials, because they are processed in a lab, they are technically not organic. But we do have Pit Moss Plentiful, which is going to be OMRI certified, and that's going to be a potting soil that's right off the shelf, ready to use. So that we're hoping to launch in a few months. We're now going through the final stages of testing with our soil scientists and wrapping up all the paperwork with OMRI. So Prime is going to be certified OMRI, and Pit Moss Plentiful is going to be certified OMRI, and then Performance is going to be probably more of like I said, it's made from all organic materials, but because the controlled release fertilizer that we use in that is synthesized, we can't claim that it's truly organic. But all of it does come from natural organic materials.
Okay. So how did like this start? Like, how long has Pit Moss been around? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, good question. So our founder, Mont Hanley, worked in garden centers for most of his life and was very involved in just horticulture and gardening, gardening enthusiast. And he saw truckloads of peat being brought into the garden center. And he just kind of wondered, what is this stuff? What is peat? And if you look at a bag of potting soil, like a Miracle-Gro, you'll see most of it is peat moss. Even all of your organic higher end potting soils are going to have peat moss in it. And if you Google peat moss, you'll hear that it's great for water retention and helping to boost up the physical properties of a potting mix. But truckloads of this peat was being brought in and used, and it was considered an ideal material for plants. But that's really not the case. Mont did a lot of research and he found out that peat is imported and is mined from peatlands, peat bogs that are primarily located in Canada, though there's some in the UK too. They make up about 3% of the Earth's surface. And they are incredible ecosystems. Some scientists actually consider them just as precious as rainforests. You can see that layers and layers and layers of climate data are also stored within these peat bogs. And what peat manufacturers do is they mine those bogs and they import and the peat for gardening use. So not only do you have obviously the transportation and the mining and the destruction of the ecosystems, peatlands also contain a lot of carbon. So there is a very, the numbers vary, but there's definitely a concern with how much carbon is released during the mining process. So it's not sustainable. And I think when you walk into a garden center and you pick up a bag of potting soil and you're planting, you're growing a garden, you're feeling good about what you're helping the environment, you're living a healthy lifestyle, but all along you're planting with this product that actually isn't that good for the environment. In fact, it's a lot of people say it's destructive. And on top of that, peat really isn't that great of a product for your garden to begin with. Peat actually needs to be, is actually not that good at water holding itself. It's naturally hydrophobic. So it repels water. It hates water, which is ironic because if you Google peat moss, you will find that people say peat moss, you use it because it holds water. Well, once you actually get the water in it, it holds water, but it actually doesn't give that water back to the plants. It just likes to suck it up and store it. So you have to add a lot of chemicals, surfactants, water, wetting agents to peat once it gets imported to actually give it the qualities that are ideal for gardeners. So you're adding chemicals, all that sort of stuff. And then you have to mix it with perlite and vermiculite to provide porosity and aeration. So the product that we have replaces the peat, it replaces the vermiculite, it replaces the perlite, or the need for those different additives and wetting agents, because our product is naturally hydrophilic. It loves water. It allows you to distribute that water, manage it a lot better, so you're not wasting any water or applied water or nutrients to the plants. So in a long roundabout way, I'm answering your question about how it got started, but peat moss really was sparked the idea in Mont Hanley's head that there needs to be a better way that we can garden. There needs to be something better that we can start planting with than this peat or this sphagnum peat moss that we're importing to the U.S. And we don't really think about it too much, but it's a massive industry. And we're really trying to see if we can change the way people are thinking about what goes into their garden.
Cool. I thought that was a great explanation. I think a lot of people are going to be like, wow, I never heard of that or never knew that. I was going to ask you at one point, just like I know what OMRI is, but do you just want to explain to listeners just really quick if they have not heard of it?
Yeah, so I'm not involved in the OMRI process, certification process, so I might not be the best person to explain, but I do know that OMRI is an organic certification that you have to apply for to ensure that your products are completely 100% organic. But I apologize, Jackie. That's probably the best answer I can give.
No, that's okay. I mostly just meant like, what does it stand for again? It's like,
oh, I might have to Google that.
I know, I'm Googling it right now. Organic Materials Review Institute is who OMRI is. And they are a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization that provides independent reviews of products such as fertilizers, pest controls, livestock, healthcare products, and numerous other inputs that are intended for use in certified organic production and processing. And I've had many guests talk about being, I mean, I think that's like your basic standard. I couldn't remember. Oh, they're in Eugene, Oregon. I was going to say, is it in East Coast, New York? I was thinking it was New York, but you're in Pennsylvania and they're in Oregon anyway. So, but, yeah. So basically just, but it's what you said. It's how, you know, the basic standard for being certified organic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was all I was looking for. That was perfect. So, you know, even though we've been talking for a while, I do usually start the show talking about like your very first gardening experience. Like, who were you with? Were you a kid? How old, you know, what do you remember? Like, what'd you grow? Like, who were you, where'd you grow up?
Yeah. So I grew up in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, and most of my gardening experiences were probably with my grandma. She was very into containers and succulents and plants and flowers. And I never really got to experience growing your own food and vegetables, which as I became an adult became more of an interest to me, especially because I love to cook. So my first adult experience was growing my own basil and dill and sage. And I struggled a bit, and there's always such a learning curve, but that's what I kind of like about it is every year you get a chance to experiment and find out what works. And it's almost like your own little environment that you're creating, and getting to understand a lot better. So, that's my next adventure is to grow tomatoes and squash and zucchini, but, I'm still slowly progressing from basic flowers to some herbs and to some vegetables. But I think that's every gardener's experience is you just kind of grow with a skill and just try new different things. And there's always something to learn. The one thing about joining the Pittmoss organization is there's so much knowledge, just from our soil scientist, Dr. Bethke, to Mark Goldman, our director of sales, who just has some incredible amounts of experience with products. And they just are a wealth of knowledge. And the whole gardening community is, I mean, you just can't stop learning, which I love. I love to learn. So it's a great industry to be working in, and also just advancing my own personal skills in gardening.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. Maybe listeners will, somebody will end up working there someday. Yeah. As you guys expand.
Yes.
So now we haven't really touched on like the recyclable part of
it.
Do you want to talk about that a little more? Because that's what I think. It just looks so cool when you like feel it in your hands and it's soft and it's, you know, I love the recycled paper because we have so much paper at my house. I swear, like I get so frustrated in Montana. We have very minimal recycling, and like my husband and I, we go through more recycling every week than regular garbage. And I just want a recycling thing at the green boxes.
Yeah. So the paper that we get is from local sources, and there was, you know, one of the common questions I get is, well, the ink, is that okay? And is it safe for your plants to garden in? And it's absolutely 100% safe. We actually have had a study done by the EPA in 97, right when Mont first invented and launched the product, that concluded that the product is completely safe for organic gardens and you're able to grow in it. A lot of the ink has actually been soy-based, so we had no issues with any of that. We do a bit of a process with sorting the paper. We don't like any glossy inserts or commercial type of inserts that you'll get. So as we do source the local newspaper, we do have to do a little bit of a hands-on manual process of just making sure it's up to our quality standards. But we are taking in a ton of newspaper and, again, just bringing those trees that produced the paper to begin with. Now we're kind of recycling them back into the earth, which is a really nice big circle of you know, a tree's life cycle, if you will. So in that end, it's really exciting to be a part of something that's not only helping our planet be more sustainable through negating the need for peat moss, but also using recycled newspaper. So it's really a win-win. We're really interested in breaking down things into cellulosic fiber. So we're experimenting with a couple of different things like cardboard, for example, especially with, you know, you have so much e-commerce now, Amazon and Walmart now, they're shipping so many supplies in boxes. I think that's probably the next thing that we start to R&D and test out a bit is to see if cardboard would be another great material for us to start recycling and using in our blends. But for now, we are just using the recycled newspaper.
Oh my gosh, that is like one of my hugest pet peeves is cardboard that just goes in, like, just, I don't think people realize. And then the cardboard's wrapped in plastic, no less. Mm-hmm. Just the things that, you know, you just go to a store and you don't even realize that this is coming on a giant pallet and it's all wrapped up and the cardboard for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that would be cool.
Yeah. And there's still a lot that needs to be done just in terms of in our testing. Sometimes the glue used to make the boxes is not something that has some chemicals in it. So we need to find stuff that are using natural, like plant-based glues. But that's becoming more and more popular. And the advancement of just breaking down cardboard waste and paper waste into fibrous materials is also seeing a lot of advancement just in separate industries. So I think there's some good things on the horizon when it comes to helping with our consumer packaged goods and recycling those.
That'd be great. And for sure, I find like when I go to restaurants and things, you get more, recycled, friendly materials. Mm-hmm. I think you're not getting as much styrofoam as you. Yes, I mean, it's certainly all over the place still, but I just don't feel like it. I see it as much as I used to. Like even the place I worked this summer, all of our containers were recyclable, mm-hmm. which was nice. And you could just put them right in the garden. We would put them in our compost and stuff. Do you want to talk about money and cost? There must be like some kind of price thing. Does it help save people money? Does it cost a little bit more, but it's worth it because it's going to go further or anything like
that? It is. So we do consider it to be a bit of a premium product because we are online and we're starting with a regional rollout of the product. So we are at Home and Garden Centers in Pennsylvania and Ohio, but we are limited by just, you know, we're a small business, so we're just starting to get into those retail centers. We've signed up with a distributor to help get our product into more of those locations. So we're really active in that. And why I mention that is because when you walk into that store, you're going to see a price point that's very similar to what you're used to seeing. We did a lot of pricing research, and it's going to be very competitive. Like, for example, a 10-quart bag is going to be around $6.99, and then up to 1 cubic foot, which I want to say is like $24. However, if you go online and you are living in California and you, they don't really have a drought over the past couple weeks with all the flooding, but, you know, a couple months ago, they were very starved for water. So we get a lot of attention from growers out in California and Texas where water management is incredibly important. And that is definitely going to be a something that you want to consider if you want to get our product purchased online and shipped, just because you're going to save a lot of resources. Now, online, our prices are roughly double to account for shipping. We do offer free shipping, but we're not making much money off of the online, but that's because we want to just be able to pass along the benefits of pit moss to consumers. So once we moved over to free shipping, we did have to up the prices a little bit just so we didn't go into the red. But it does allow for our product to be used by gardeners all across the states. And we see we try to do as many deals. If you sign up on our site and on our contact form, you'll be registered for exclusive. Like I did 25% off last week. So we try to be a little aggressive in terms of just promoting and giving people that are signed up and fans of Pit Moss some promotions and discount codes through the website. But our goal this year is really to get into as many home and garden centers as possible. And then ideally, potentially, we have a plant out in the West and we can start to distribute and manage our shipping costs a little better as we grow across the states. But it's hard to tell. We're still in the beginning stages, but really excited about the things that have already started and what's upcoming.
Nice. Well, that's good because I have a lot of listeners in California and Texas, so they'll be excited about that. And free shipping's always a big one for me. And because it's light, it's probably quite competitive that way in the price in the long run for what you're going to get.
We're lucky in that state. We're still considered a bulkier item. So our 10 quart bag is around 5 to 7 pounds. And then our 1 cubic foot bag is around 13. So we're still dealing with a bit of a weight issue, but it is much lighter than a peat based blend or core or anything like that.
All right. And then, so my husband was wondering, like, he thought he would need like huge amounts. Like, and then I saw there was like a wholesale tab on the website.
Yes. Yeah. So if you want to purchase our product in bulk, I would just consider filling out that form and one of our sales representatives can contact you and see if we can work out something that, for example, if you have a massive garden, maybe we could help you out in that way. We do sell super sacks, like big sacks of product to commercial growers. So there is a potential there if the finances make sense in terms of just where you're located and shipping costs and things like that. But we're always going to field any of those questions. And if there's an interest there, we're very happy to talk to you and see if we can get some pit moss out to whoever needs it.
Cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about that we've missed?
I touched on one element of pit moss that I think is really fascinating that we've seen, and that's microbial activity. So a couple months ago, I may get in trouble for saying this, but a couple months ago, we ran into what we thought was a problem. I actually did a blog about this with our soil scientist, Dr. Bethke, because he made us feel very reassured about what we thought was a problem. But we opened a bag and we saw this like green or white like media or material developing. And at first glance, you're like, is that mold? Like, is what's going on with my pit moss? And my first thing is we have to figure out a way to make this stop. What's the issue? Like, this isn't going to be good. And thankfully, Dr. Bethke was down from Michigan and helping educate us on the product. And he's like, absolutely not. That is so good for your plants. It actually means that things love to grow in pit moss. And the most basic form of life or life matter is algae. And it's simple. It's, you know, the simplest form of life growing material. So what we saw was this microbial activity is so strong within pit moss, especially given in certain environments. Now, this only happens if like you leave out in the sun and it's like moist and it just has those perfect environment for that type of growth. But what that means is that when you plant with it, all of those wonderful benefits that are those healthy we like to say probiotics for your plants. It helps the plants digest the nutrients a lot better when you have that microbial activity happening. And to see it happen naturally within pit moss without even having to add any seeds or put it in a garden or anything just means that the product is really ready to be grown in. It's just this environment that loves to produce and inspire growth from itself and the plants that you plant with it. So one of those challenges is educating people that that it is different. And in terms of the microbial activity that you may or may not see within pit moss, it's absolutely safe and a very, very good thing for your plants and really one of the hallmarks of the product. And we could change it, but it would mean that we're delivering less of a product. So we really want to encourage people to keep an open mind and kind of rethink the way what they're planting in and using potting soil that is just really good for the earth and has that great environment that your plants will love.
Cool. Well, this reminds me of I just did an interview with this guy, Danny Swan from Black Swan Organics, who is in, he's in Detroit, right? I'm sure he's in Detroit. And he goes into places where, they're really doing reclamation, empty lots, where houses have been kind of not even maybe removed or torn down, but there's still a lot of, certainly soil that's been depleted of almost all nutrients. And it seems when he talked about it, they're just constantly mulching, they're constantly, adding to the soil, anything they can do. And this sounds like this would be a good amendment for places, a good thing to add to places like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I said, just mix pit moss with whatever you have or you see using, and it's going to really improve whatever you're currently working with. And a lot of that is just because of the porosity and aeration that encourages that microbial growth. And then I guess one other word of caution is a lot of products will say you can water less. We really do mean that at Pit Moss. The biggest issue we see is overwatering because people are just used to watering their plants every day. When I planted in Pit Moss with my garden, I noticed that I would come out ready to water and I didn't need to. So you almost have to, there's a bit of a learning curve and you want to make sure that, when we say you don't need to water as much, we truly do mean that. So actually on the phone with my grandma yesterday, she lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and she's been using pit moss. And that's the first thing she said was, I'm just watering less. It's really weird. I just don't have to water. So it's one of those things that, is very true when we talk about its water management capacity. And it's again, really far and beyond any other product that's out there.
Nice. I'll tell you, I can totally attest to that personally. Cause yesterday when I was we have a 3-day weekend. And so I was for the garden club, we planted just one little tray of, I think there's 12 little 6-pack things in there. And so I was trying to mist them yesterday before I left so they'd be soaked down. I told the kids to do it during the day. They're all like, can I do this? Of course, they always want to do it in the middle of math. And I'm like, when you get your work done. So nobody had to finish by the end of the day. And my kid with the gardening job was absent. And so I'm standing there, trying to get out the door, misting, because they're just baby seedlings. So I don't want to pour water on them. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. I don't know how my husband did it. Cause I have his picture, back in 2007, he grew 750 seedlings one year. And I remember him misting, my hand would cramp up, I think, from doing all that. It's just, but that is one of his secrets is that I think that misting using a mister instead of, really helps his seedlings grow better. But not having to do that.
Of the water too. You're not drowning certain areas or different parts of the plant.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else?
No, that's it. I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk to you and tell you a little about what we're trying to do here at Pit Moss. And thanks for helping us spread our word.
Well, cool. Well, anything that's going to help people grow more naturally and put better things into the soil and recycle and just, help save our planet is always one of my favorite things to talk about. So, all right. Well, so Ashley, I am going to ask you my final question. It's kind of a doozy. So it goes like this. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? What do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
That's a really doozy. Yeah, you're right. That was a doozy. Probably the one thing that I would like to see is just more consensus, just more of a holistic approach to how we can better the environment. And, there's still some debate on whether or not, our planet's being affected by climate change. And it just, you talk to any scientist or it just seems hard to overcome when we can't even agree on that. So I think that if there were just some more consensus and just an understanding that there needs to just be better innovation and ways to use greener, more sustainable products, isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's great for the environment and our economy. So one of the things I am passionate about is just is helping educate and communicate and make sure that we're just helping steer people and lead the world into a greener, more sustainable place. But no particular organization that I'm involved in. I guess Pit Moss is my full-time and all day my life really right now. But yeah, I think that anything that we can do to just help spread the word and educate people and make people more comfortable with more sustainable, organic things and not have it be so much of a, I think we see a lot of change now too. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. So
you're perfect.
I think that anything we can do to make it more acceptable to people. And, you know, I always think of my dad and organic stuff is so expensive and what does it really do? And there's so many reasons. It's not that it's just a more healthier fruit for you, but the farming practices and how they're treating their soil and are they using GMOs? And so there's a lot to it. That's not just a pretty little label that says organic, and there's a lot of meaning and purpose behind that. And so just helping spread the word and getting people more on board with that is something I truly believe in.
Cool. Awesome. Well, usually I say, do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden? But that was pretty good right there.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
want to say anything else? Something about
gardening is therapeutic. It's a cheap therapist.
All right. You're not the first one to say that, but you are the first one to say it in quite a while. So I'm glad you're saying it again, because I definitely had some new listeners. But definitely a lot of people say that. Well, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Absolutely, and, Jackie.
You have a wonderful weekend.
You too. I really appreciate it again. And stay in touch. Let me know what your experience is with Pit Moss. If you do have a gardening club or anybody that would be interested in sampling, feel free to reach out to me and I can get some more samples out to you.
Oh, great. Well, maybe you'll join our Facebook group.
Yes, I absolutely can.
Okay. So now, did we say the website? Do you want to tell people your website just one more time so they know where to go? You have a blog there?
Oh, sorry. It's www.pitmoss.com.
Okay, cool. All right. And free shipping. Don't forget, listeners, there's free shipping. So that's a great plus.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening. And remember to grow.